You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garrisonovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 23 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate. Not going great at House 6/1, and it's going almost as badly back at Burozkin's command, seeing as a bomb has hit their bunker directly. So of the few survivors who are left, they're all just waiting in the rubble, singing songs until one of their soldiers digs them out, at which point they get a call from Chuikov telling Burozkin, hey, good news for you. Everyone else is dead. You're in command. And then he throws off a neat little one-liner about, I worked my ass off and no one ever appreciated it, and I spend one day under rubble singing songs and I'm in command of everything now. So, great. And not going great for the Red Army in Stalingrad today, huh?
No, not a good day to be the Red Army, I would say.
No. No. Especially not in command of the Red Army.
No, you don't really want to be anywhere near it, I don't think, at the moment.
Yeah. I gotta say, this is, I think, one of the most beautifully written chapters. It's tough because Grossman's a good writer and the Chandlers are good translators. But I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't know if this is true for you, this chapter is affecting in a way that not a lot of others have been similarly affecting in talking about battle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it was kind of interesting them just kind of being all trapped, basically.
Yeah.
It kind of is just a sort of new dynamic. I mean, it's similar to the last chapter where they're kind of trapped in the crater as they're being bombarded. But this is kind of, I don't know, the way it goes from being in the center of the bombardment to just sort of being like an incidental stray shot. But it actually is quite crippling. Was kind of an interesting change.
Yeah. Right, for sure. And especially Grossman again showing his being adept at not just conveying lots of ideas, but being really good at writing.
He does know how to write, doesn't he?
He does know how to write. No, it's like the drama of, the fear for these Bjorsk and the survivors is not, well, we're now the fear is, well, if another bomb lands on us, now it's going to come crashing down on us, which is left for most of the chapter. Just a surprisingly adept action scene, which I don't usually associate with Grossman.
yeah, it's kind of a nail biter.
Yeah.
But I think the main point of the chapter actually is what's nestled in the middle of one paragraph towards the end, where they're recounting the casualties and they say everyone in House 6-1, including the notorious Grekov, has perished. Only the scout and one old militiaman had escaped. We have these people that we had sort of grown close to, even if they were horrifying and scary people. But all of these people that we have spent so much time reading about, thinking that they were going to be main characters, and Grossman just wipes them clean in the middle of the book. That's brutal. And now, they don't even get like what is essentially an on-screen death. They get killed off narrative, basically. I mean, you can understand how it would happen based on everything that we've seen around and at the house, but now you read the rest of the book like being acutely aware of that absence, I think. And that's difficult to reconcile with. And I think it's sort of made possible by the fact that Grossman is able to give us so many characters all at once, and yet we feel attached to all of them, even if maybe at times we're not keeping every single one of them straight with who's who, I think. At least you had some familiarity with that house. I sure hope that rang a bell.
Right.
Hopefully you weren't that lost by this point.
Otherwise, but yeah, no, it is such a gut punch, and immediately following the line you quoted, there's a repeated line that really gets me, which is the regiment had withstood the German assault. The men still alive were still alive, and later on, after Burozkin is kind of is freed and has a phone call Kuykov, in which he is given command of the surviving units. It's kind of said, in the workshops of the tractor factory, the battle had only just begun. Those who were alive were still alive. And there's just something so haunting about that. There's so many, and we know some of them, the many soldiers of House 6-1 and so many others who are now in these just minutes past of this novel, been wiped out forever. And those still alive, we're still alive. I don't know what it is. Just, I don't have a deeper analysis. Just what a haunting pair of lines.
Yeah, and there's no time to really, I don't think, even come to terms with what that means for anybody that's participating in this, because as the last line says, the Germans were pressing forward. And so any emotional depth to that feeling has to essentially be pushed aside for the moment. And that's not good. And, you know, we'll see why that's not good towards the end of the novel. And as Grossman kind of gives us his sort of synthesis and conclusion, but it is, I don't know, it's a feature of his novels that I think it's strength, for sure. It's not all neatly wrapped up in some satisfying character arc conclusion. It just, much like life, refuses to give you kind of what you want or expect. Not that there isn't good in there, but just doesn't work in that great novel narrative that you might expect.
Right. Yeah. Well, perfectly said. I completely agree.
That's all I had on this chapter. Like you said, I really liked this one. It was a good one.
It's great. It has all the, right? I mean, and if you want to make another comparison to War and Peace, all the upsides of the exploring similar questions with the occasional and well-needed reminder that, hey, isn't this such a horrifying thing we do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, anywho, that's all we had to say. Perhaps this is a good place to leave for today.
Sounds good to me. And in that case, you will hear from us again soon.